Welcome to Spoon Press Audio, the podcast for your daily story fix with your host, author, and award-winning entrepreneur, Anna M.
Hello, this is Anna M speaking, and if you're new here and curious about what this is all about, take a listen to the first episode of this podcast where I share my journey and the story behind all these stories. Please hit the subscribe button and share these stories with your friends. So now it is time to share with you the first episode of my first ever audio story on Spoon Press. The story is called Don't Know Jack. And here's chapter one. A girl in a yellow raincoat standing on the pavement in front of the bus stop as they drive past. She must be about 6 years old. From the passenger side inside the BMW, 29-year-old Jack Forrester peers at her through the window. There's a whole cluster of people with umbrellas, bracing themselves against the weather as they wait for the bus, but the yellow coat makes the child stand out, as does the fact that she seems to be looking straight at him. Of course she can't see him through the tinted windows, Jack knows that, but as he keeps his gaze on her, the girl stares back. And just as the car passes her, in that moment, she seems to mouth something at him. Jack. What the heck? Startled, Jack turns in his seat and peers back through the rear window, but there's no sign now of the yellow coat in front of the bus stop, only the grey of the people and the grey of the rain. He quickly glances at Susanna, his girlfriend, sitting next to him behind the wheel. But obviously she didn't notice the girl. She has her eyes on the maze of traffic ahead while doing a conference call through her earpods at the same time. It's ridiculous, Peter, Susanna now says, while she steers the BMW past a pileup of cabs and buses into the faster lane. If we push back the launch to October, we may as well call off the whole thing.
Wop-wap, wop-wap. Goes the wipers across the windscreen.
With all the LED lights on the dashboard, the interior of the car kind of looks like what Jack imagines a spaceship cockpit would look like.
Susanna suddenly steps down hard on the brake when a traffic light turns red. They pull up behind a delivery bike. Her thumb, with its glittery red manicured nail, is drumming impatiently on the steering wheel.
I'm not going to accept that, Peter. Tell him it's not good enough. I need this sorted out before the end of the morning.
The driver of the delivery bike is bobbing up and down to what must be a loud beat, pumping into his ears from somewhere. Inside the brand new soundproof BMW, however, all is quiet except for Susanna's voice. And suddenly Jack longs for fresh air, to at least hear the rain on the roof. He feels the claustrophobia mount in his chest, and he reaches for the button to lower the window just a tad.
No! Susanna exclaims, making him jump, and he quickly withdraws his hand from the button.
He looks at her, but she's still gazing up at the red light.
I'm sorry, she says, but that's unacceptable.
Jack almost laughs when he realizes that, of course, Susanna's still on the phone. The no was meant for whoever's on the other side, not for him. But his heart is thumping nonetheless. It's all this traffic, it's making him jumpy. He should have taken the train. But Susanna insisted on dropping him off. She now turns ahead and sees him watching her. She shoots him a warm, reassuring smile that says, I see you, honey. Jack smiles back, a smile that says, no worries. The light has turned green again and they're off. Skillfully and calm as a cucumber, Susanna steers the BMW through the buses and cabs and bicycles. Jack closes his eyes and tries to relax.
Stop giving me excuses, Peter, okay? I need a solution. Tell me how long you need to fix this. That's all I want to know.
Jack can't help but feel a bit sorry for this Peter, whoever he is. They're 1 week away from the launch of Susanna's brand new clothing line, and that's literally all she's been talking about. Staying late at the office most nights, being constantly on the phone, bringing home boxes of fabric samples, and draping it all over the kitchen counter. Jack has no interest in fashion, nor does he think has this Peter and most of the other people at the office. But Susanna's passion is infectious and consuming, and sooner or later she gets everyone on board with whatever project she takes on. That was one of the things that attracted him to her in the first place. She's so alive, so sure of herself. They stop again and Jack opens his eyes, seeing that they've pulled up beside a double-decker bus at another red light. It's a tight squeeze. The edge of the bus is right here by his window. There's a woman on the other side, inside the bus, and she's looking at him. Jack turns his head away, but when he turns it back a few seconds later, the woman is still looking at him.
"Jack,"
she says. He gasps. Of course he can't hear her, but just like the girl at the bus stop, Jack can swear this woman just said his name. He stares at her, his eyes wide and his heart racing. Is she even blinking? Because right now she looks more like a wax figure than a real person. The light turns green and Susanna hoots at a few pedestrians who have darted across the street last minute, making Jack's head turn. But she steps down on the accelerator and when he looks back, they've left the bus behind. "We should do lunch today," Susanna says next to him. Jack's skin pricks. Suddenly he can't wait for them to arrive at the leisure center so he can get out of this car. He longs to strip off his tracksuit and dive into the familiar, smooth, cool water of the swimming pool. "Hello, Earth to Jack." He turns his head to see Susanna looking at him. She must be done with her conference call then. He didn't even notice. Sorry, what?" he stammers. "I said, silly, we should do lunch today. 1 o'clock? Jack blinks, trying to act normal, but his heart is fluttering in his throat. Really? You can take lunch with all that's going on?" Susanna just rolls her eyes and then smiles sweetly. "I always make time for you, hun. You know that." That's true. She's been a stellar girlfriend ever since they started going together a year ago. They met at a fundraiser for a new women's volleyball club, also one of Susanna's projects. Jack was there to write the article, and the two of them went for drinks afterwards. He knew Susanna was rich. She told him that her father was a famous business mogul and that he basically funded all her ventures. But Jack didn't grasp the full extent of that privilege yet. Susanna seemed so down to earth. Back then, what Jack wanted most in the world was to have some time off so he could write his novel, a science fiction story he'd been plotting ever since high school. When he told Susanna about it that first evening, she immediately offered to sponsor him. Jack was so shocked, he thought she was kidding. That was because he didn't know her yet. But about a month into their relationship, after listening to him complaining and grumbling about it, she made the suggestion again that he should quit his full-time job, move in with her, and focus all his attention on the book. This time, it didn't seem so ludicrous to Jack anymore. When he turned in his resignation, all the other people at the Daily Herald told him how lucky he was, how jealous they were of this opportunity he was getting. Only, it's been almost a year now, and all Jack has to show for it are 3 chapters, which he wrote in the first 7 days after quitting his job. Then he kinda got stuck, and he's been reworking those 3 chapters ever since. Susanna never asks him how the book is going or pressures him to provide proof of what he's been doing with his days. He's free to do whatever he wants to, which at the moment is writing a couple of freelance articles for the Herald again. But sometimes Jack can't help but worry that the money has made him weak, or worse, that he's always been weak and that was why he couldn't write his novel in the first place. Not the fact that he had a full-time job. "So, lunch?" Susanna asks again, whilst performing an illegal U-turn in front of the leisure centre so she can point the BMW's nose back to the main road. "Okay," Jack says. "What time?" "Around 1?" He nods again. "Happy?" she asks. "Yeah, where do you want to go?" Susanna grins. "I just said, silly. Happy." You mean Happy, the restaurant, got you. I thought..." Her thumb has started drumming again. "Sorry," he says, "I'm keeping you." He grabs his board back and unbuckles his seatbelt. Wait, she leans over. Kiss, kiss. He kisses her on the lips. Bye, he says, and turns to open the door. Have a good day. Bye, James, she says. With his hand on the handle, Jack stops. He looks back to her with a frown. Did you just call me James? Susanna clamps her hand over her mouth, staring at him with large eyes. She looks so genuinely shocked that he can't help but smile. It's fine, he chuckles. But I'm Jack, remember? Your boyfriend? Sorry, hun. I just blanked out for a second. My head is really all over the place. Sorry. It's okay, really. No worries. So I'll see you later then. She nods. Have a good swim. Jack opens the door and gets out. Sheets of rain hit him in the face, but he hardly feels it. His skin feels numb, as if he is covered in a thin wax coating. Maybe he's just been sitting inside the soundproof car too long, and now all his senses have fallen asleep, for even his ears feel blocked. The sounds of the traffic are muffled and far away, as if his head is underwater. Jack shuts the door and waves at Susanna, although he can't see her through the tinted window anymore. He watches as the BMW drives off. And then he runs up to the lighted entrance of the leisure center, jumping to miss the pools of water on the pavement. He doesn't notice the photographer in the raincoat across the street, snapping away through the long-lensed camera. Inside the locker room, Jack quickly strips down to his Speedo, grabs his towel, and walks through to the pool area. The warm air immediately relaxes him a little, the smell of the chlorine, the sound of the water. There are only three other swimmers and he gets a lane to himself. He warms up his arms and twists his body a couple of times before slipping into the pool. After the first two laps, he forgets all about the rest of it, about the fabric samples in the flat and his failed attempts at a novel. He just swims, enjoying the flow of the water past his skin and falling into the rhythm of his strokes. He's all caught up in it, in his own private underwater world. When it happens. As Jack turns at the end of the third lap, there is a woman right in front of him in the water. Not a swimmer, no, a woman with pale skin and long floating hair who is just suddenly there in front of his face, under the water, and she's looking straight at him. Jack gasps, swallowing water and flinging his arms about. Jack, her mouth shapes. And she reaches for him. This is Anna M, and you have just listened to the first episode of my brand new story called Don't Know Jack. The next episode will follow shortly, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you are listening to this podcast and follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or my YouTube channel for updates on all new released chapters. If you have any comments or would like to give feedback on this episode, you can email me at spoonpress_uk@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Chat soon. Bye.
Welcome, all story lovers. Dive into the enchanting world of Spoon Press Audio, your go-to podcast for a daily dose of fiction. Whether you fancy brainy masterminds, gutsy heroes, or cheeky lovers, we've got stories to captivate you and sweep you away from the ordinary humdrum of your day. Created by the award-winning author and entrepreneur, Anna M., Spoon Press Audio is a perfect blend of laughter, intrigue, and suspense. But also, these stories are specially designed to boost your brain power and mental well-being. So be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us on an epic adventure only at Spoon Press Audio.